You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
All right, you're on BFM Breakfast. I've got a very special interview to share with you now with the wonderful Molly Lewis, professional whistler, sweetheart of the Los Angeles music and movie world. She put out a really brilliant EP last year called The Forgotten Edge, which saw her sort of rocket into people's consciousness as a really interesting new artist. And she's recently just released a beautiful new EP called Mirage. Both of those came out via Jag Jaguar, and she has been working away quietly within that community for a long time. She's been a professional whistler since she was really young, got into it early, was originally trying to be an actress like many other people in Los Angeles, and then discovered that she had a different thing to do and say in that scene. So we're going to have a listen to the chat I had with Molly. The EPs are both out now, but it's all coming out on vinyl at the end of this month, so you can pre-order that through Bandcamp or I'm sure through your local record store. Magical sound you create. I think, you know, people maybe first come into your music fascinated by the novelty of hearing whistling done in such a way, and then they sort of stick around because you just create this whole amazing atmosphere and world almost. When did you find whistling was going to be a passion for you?
Well, I guess it was something I did a lot as a child. And I guess I was pretty good at it because my parents kind of subtly encouraged me. They got me a CD for Christmas once. It was a CD of Steve the Whistler Herbst, who whistled Broadway show tune medleys. And I remember hearing it and realizing that I could whistle like he could. Mm. And kind of when I realized that I could whistle like a whistler who had his own CD, I kind of thought, wow, maybe one day I can have my own CD too.
What is it about the quality of whistling that appeals to you? Because it's a human sound, obviously. It comes, you know, from the human body, but it is also quite otherworldly. What is it that, I guess, speaks to you?
Yeah, I agree with that assessment. I sometimes think of it as a human theremin. It's got that kind of theremin, otherworldly quality, ethereal sound. But yeah, with the human element always, which I like. I like that it's a universal language. I like that, you know, anyone around the world can whistle, or can try to whistle. It speaks to people in a certain way because of that. I just did a performance in New York and I kind of made a joke about how, you know, the audience doesn't know what I'm saying in my songs. But yeah, because it's got an emotional quality, where I try to convey emotion, but yeah, it's wordless, so I hope that it kind of, you know, it brings something new to each person.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a very cinematic aspect to what you make, not just in the sound, but you create these incredible visual worlds through the videos as well. Mm-hmm. How long has cinema been a love for you? Because this feels like another sort of deep-rooted thing.
Oh, yes. I wasn't planning on being a professional whistler. I actually wanted to work in the film industry. I grew up loving cinema and film, and my parents worked in film. My dad makes documentaries, and my mother always did the music supervision for them. And I studied film at university, film history. And I kind of moved to Los Angeles thinking I would find work in the movies somehow. I didn't really know what aspects I wanted to be a part of, but I've always loved film music so much. I always thought it was kind of such an important part of cinema, and can, you know, could convey so much being there, or, you know, the lack of music. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I guess getting into the whistling part of my life, it felt like a way to kind of create cinematic visual worlds, without having the visuals with you know, all the songs. I it's been fun making music videos, that's for sure. It's kind of given me a great outlet to do that.
A cast of friends and admirers be supportive of what you're doing and jump in on those videos as well. I'm thinking a little bit about I believe your roller skating friend. That was for the Forgotten Edge, but tell us a wee bit about that friendship and collaboration.
Yeah, so with my first music video I made last year for the song Oceanic Feeling, I asked my friend John C. Reilly, the great actor and musician, I asked him if he would. So basically I was trying to come up with an idea for the video, and there's a kind of epic saxophone solo, and I was trying to think, like, how can this be conveyed? And I thought, oh, it'd be great if John emerges from the mist playing the saxophone, and luckily he was down. But I met him, gosh, like 6 years or 7 years ago. We both played at this event in Los Angeles. It was a tribute night to Harry Dean Stanton, the great character actor, and it was just before he died, and so he was there, and a bunch of musicians and filmmakers and actors and friends of his performed songs from his movies. And so John was there doing one, and I happened to be there, because I got asked to play on a song with Karen O that she was doing, which was wonderful. And so we met there, and he really liked the whistling and invited me to be a part of his roller skating crew.
That's
which
so
was,
great.
I know, an offer I couldn't refuse. He's been a wonderful friend and supporter over the years. So that's been fun.
The performing for Harry Dean Stanton, that must have been pretty special. He is one of the greats, and I think we throw those terms around a lot, but he really is. And he sort of sits in that larger-than-life world that I think something about listening to your music kind of takes me into that old Hollywood space, or this kind of like the canon of Hollywood or something. I wonder a wee bit about where do you write from, because they're beautiful melodies. Where do they come from for you?
Oh, well, thank you. That's a compliment. I feel like, you know, living in LA, I'm always attracted to that kind of deep history that exists here, and that kind of special world that Harry was a part of. So for me, gosh, you know, it's kind of always happens differently. So with the last album, it was during the pandemic, I'd kind of holed up at home, and my friend, I'm friends with one of my best friends, Kira McNally. Her boyfriend is Mac DeMarco, the great musician, and we were all hanging out one day, and he was throwing out a guitar. He was like, "Molly, do you want this?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'll sell it on eBay." I didn't do that yet. I haven't come to that point. But I started trying to learn how to play, and he taught me a couple of his favorite chords, and I went home and kind of was playing around with the basics that I could pull off. I've gotten better since then, but whistling over guitar chords it's really nice. And that was kind of I wrote Oceanic Feeling that way, just kind of playing around. I think I stumbled across the melody and quickly phone recorded it, voice recorded it, because sometimes I'll have a melody in my head and I don't do that, and then yep. I'm like, oh no, that $1 million hit gone forever. but yeah, or you know, so that one was kind of one that happened in that regard. And then with the latest EP, Mirage, my producer Tom Brennick, he introduced me to Roger, who's this incredible Brazilian guitar player, and we would sit around and hang out, and Roger would just start playing guitar and I would start whistling.
Oh,
and
wow.
we would kind of stumble across something, or it really kind of sometimes feels like magic, like it's being pulled out of thin air. But yeah, other times, you know, I'll have a chord bass and I'll kind of sit with it for a while and really kind of think of all the different puzzle pieces to go with it, mm-hmm. the whistle kind of melodies. But yeah, I feel like the best ones have just kind of been like magic in a way.
I've seen some beautiful videos of you. I think it was at maybe one of the fashion weeks in Europe, performing in what looked like a coliseum. That was incredible. Where was that?
Well, that was at the Paris Opera House.
Oh, gosh.
I know. yeah, not too shabby. That one was a ridiculous affair. really fun, but very strange. It was for a lingerie fashion show that they were live streaming across Europe, and they just wanted everything, you know. They were like, let's throw a whistler in there, and you know, let's get a, you know, the very kind of gluttonous affair of lingerie and whistlers, and they had BMX bikers.
Oh my God,
as
wow.
well. Yeah, I know. I was, and they were biking around me while I whistled. So that was, it was, I mean, I had to close my eyes while I did that piece, because if I'd opened them, I think I just would have burst out laughing. It was just so extreme, but yeah, really fun.
How do you prepare for a show? Maybe, you know, a more intimate one or a big intense thing like that? Because I imagine there's quite a discipline to being able to perform whistling for a duration to an audience.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like the best practice has just been the constant performing over the years, and because I think for me in the beginning the hardest part was nerves, mm. and you know, wanting to smile, mm-hmm. or you know, giggle, and I you can't do that when yeah. you're whistling. You really have to be concentrated. So yeah, I've gotten a lot more used to it, that's for sure. And these days, yeah, if there's a show, you know, there's rehearsals with the bands. But yeah, sometimes not even that much. Like I just did two shows in New York, and I met the band on the Friday before the shows, and we had like a 4-hour rehearsal, and they were just such great musicians. It was, you know, it made my job really easy. We kind of just, you know, it was great. But then I do my own practice kind of, either at home, I'll practice the songs, or I'll, you know, go walking in the park or something, and try and get it, you know, be alone and go over the songs a bit by myself. But yeah, I think the hardest part is mainly just confronting an audience and being on stage. Mm-hmm. That's something you can't really practice for until you're there. Thank you.
Molly Lewis chatting with me about her new EP Mirage, which is just lush. If you need something relaxing and transporting to listen to, I highly recommend it. Also, her previous EP from last year, The Forgotten Edge, is similarly beautiful and otherworldly. She's got an album coming out which is going to be released at the end of this month on vinyl, but both of those EPs are available now on all the other places you'd go and listen to music digitally. Thanks again to Molly for speaking with me. I so enjoyed it. I've been a big fan of her music since she started releasing stuff. I think it's incredible that she's managed to take something that people might, I think, assume to be a sort of variety show act and really prove that it's got incredible musical worth. It's just really stunning. So I really enjoyed chatting with her. She's got a great sense of humour. If you missed any of that or you've just tuned in now, it'll be up in the B-casts after the show.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.